instruction in how to live our existence in this human form of life. Now this particular verse is specifically referring to two most important aspects of our senses. One is the eyes, which do not take great pleasure looking at the beautiful form of the Lord. And the legs, which are not used for visiting pilgrimage, place of pilgrimage, temples, or even engaging in devotional service, that are considered as useless, like just trees, which are standing in a stationary position and have no ability to move around. Even though you are moving, still it is as good as like trees. So Prabhupada, in the purport, is specifically saying that those who are household devotees, they must engage in the worship of the deity. Now specifically Prabhupada is mentioning here that one should be engaged in the worship of the deity from morning till night. In other words, in your household affairs, you must always absorb in the residing deities of your home, you know, from morning till night. So if you are always constantly fully engaged in the service of the Lord, then there is no time for anything else. Now Prabhupada is saying here that one must engage in the service of the Lord from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. So then one would be beginning to think that that is a very good process of being fully absorbed in Krishna throughout the day. But then what about my household expenses? Who is going to pay my mortgage? Who is going to pay my light bill? Who is going to pay my food bills? Who is going to pay for my clothing? Who is going to pay for my children's education? And so many other expenses which are incurred in household life. So one is in a dilemma. If one goes by this particular purpose, the instructions are very straightforward. The household has no business other than just worshipping the Supreme Lord throughout the day. But at the same time, in the household, there is not just one person who is living. There is a family. So according to Varnashram institution, it is said that the husband or the man of the house is supposed to be the breadwinner. He is supposed to go out and get a job which will allow him to bring sufficient funds to maintain his family. Whereas other family members are supposed to be engaged throughout the day in the worship of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, what will happen is that you may get up in the morning and do your half an hour puja. Sometimes not even half an hour puja, quick 5 minute puja. You see in most Indian households these days that they have allocated a very small dark corner of their house as a temple. And in that temple they may have many, many different photographs of Radha Krishna, Sitaram, Shiva Parvati, Lord Ganesh, Goddess Durga, and many other multitude of the demigods. And they wake up in the morning, take a bath and light one little ghee lamp, one incense, and put a glass of water and maybe a little few sugar candy. And that's a lot. That's done for the day. And then you go off to enjoy, you know, all the material facilities which are at your disposal. Just like Prabhupada saying that mostly we are attracted by watching cinemas and listening to all these nonsensical songs on radio. And we pass our time like that. Because we are attracted to these kind of things. And actually, we see that nowadays, because of modern television media, and so many channels are available at people's disposal, that throughout the day, there are so many soap operas, unlimited soap operas. And people's lives are revolved around the soap operas. Morning they finish their little chores of house, and if they are fortunate enough that they don't have to go to work, because the husband is going out to work and he's bringing enough money in, then they start watching the daily morning soap operas after lunchtime, and then they have a quick bite to eat something, and then again afternoon soap operas, and then evening soap operas, and the whole day is so absorbed in soap operas. One article I was reading in the newspaper about 2 years back, when Pakistan allows the Indian broadcasters to broadcast the soap operas in Pakistan from the Indian shops, all the women of Pakistan were so much absorbed in watching these Indian soap operas that they had no time to do anything else. So they met a schedule in their home and told their husband that if you want to eat your meal in the evening, you be at home between this time to this time. If you're not home between this time, then you are missing your meal because I'm not missing my soap. And after I finish my soap opera, then you will get your meal. So there's a whole article saying how they are so absorbed and men are so frustrated that they go to work all day and come home and they don't have a meal to eat because the woman of the house is so absorbed watching Indian soap opera. And this is not just Pakistan, this is the article in Pakistan. Now, in India itself, they're so much engrossed in watching this television that they have no time for anything. You know, in the old days, they used to come out of their house and meet the lady next door and gossip about all sorts of useless things. But now, that gossip is replaced by television. And after watching television, they come out and they talk about the soap opera. What's the latest situation with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law and all kinds of these things. And that doesn't help anybody. But it helps only you become further entangled in material life. But Prabhupada is very clearly saying that this purpose, that it is the duty of the householder to prepare his life in such a way that his whole existence is centered around the worship of the Lord. So that he has no other business but to worship the Lord and serve the Lord in all these different devotional services. If you engage in this way, then there is no time for anything else. Because all day is taken up for worshipping the Lord. Now, according to the principle of one ashram, as I mentioned yesterday, that there are different specific duties in a householder. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is saying that there is some facility for you to make your life based on dharma, artha, kama and moksha. The dharma is religious principles that you practice everything according to religious practice, which is given in the scriptures. Secondly, artha means economic development. You may develop economically to the extent that you should only accumulate funds that are basically needed for your simple living, and not more. Also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that you must do your duty. Karman eva adhikara tu mahapaleshu kadasa. Saying that you perform your duty. Now don't worry about the result. Mahapaleshu kadasa. He's saying the result is not up to you. That is up to the Supreme Lord, what He gives you. Now what He gives you is according to your previous karmas and what your views are. You will not get a penny more or penny less. You will only get that which is your due. So even if you make a special endeavor to earn more, you will not get. Because hard work, working and toiling 24 hours a day, would make one a millionaire. When there are many laborers who are toiling very hard, working throughout the day, but you don't see them becoming millionaires. But then you see some who are fortunate that their karma is such to become millionaires, they hardly go to work. They may go to work for a few hours in a day, make a few phone calls, make some deals, which is running millions of dollars, and he's making millions of dollars profit, and he's free man to do anything he likes. He doesn't have to toll all day. So we see from this particular example that whatever is your views, the Lord will supply. He says, just do your duty. So, as a household, the Prabhupada is very clearly saying that you must center your whole life based on the worship of Sri Radha and Krishna. And anything else doesn't matter. Now, this is for those who are purely interested in Krishna consciousness. And those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, then they may be fully absorbed in all sorts of mundane activities. And that can only entangle them further and further in material life, but not free from the bondage and the clutches of their birth and death. But those who have come into contact with Krishna consciousness, they should consider themselves most fortunate that Krishna has shown special favor to allow you to engage in the highest service through which you are free from this bondage. But even though after coming to the platform of receiving the Supreme Lord's mercy, we are still not happy with that, because we still think that this material world has something to offer. Because all around you, you see people are so much grossly, engaged in so-called spirit of enjoyment. But that spirit of enjoyment is only temporary and based practically on the influence of more of ignorance and more of passion. If you are totally ignorant, then you will not realize your real position. So you will be quite happily engaged in so-called mundane forms of happiness. But these mundane forms of happiness will be the very cause of bringing trouble and difficulties to you. Because in this material world, which is explained as dukhalaya, place of suffering, at the same time, the very nature of the material world is of duality. For every good, there is bad. For every happiness, there is unhappiness. So that which may be the cause of your happiness in this material world will very soon and quickly turn into the cause of your misery and unhappiness. And the amount of happiness which you may derive will be nothing compared to the misery which brings and comes your way after the happiness. I have to give one example. That somehow you come into money and you are so much happy that you have been blessed by goddess of fortune that you have received some large amount of money. So you go out, you buy a BMW, first class car, which is considered a status symbol in the so-called luxury lifestyle. So you have your brand new BMW, the latest model, and you proudly drive out of the showroom and driving down the road, and you are thinking, now this is the highest sense of enjoyment. Now I've got a first class car, I'm driving this in luxurious motor, everybody's looking at me with envy, they don't have one, but I'm very proud and I'm driving down the road. We are driving down. Because you are so much absorbed in your own self appreciation and absorbed in your car, you're driving, but you do not follow the highway rule, and then comes accident. Because of your carelessness, because your attention is thinking, everybody is watching me, I'm driving my car, and I'm such a happy man now, and everybody is, I'm the envy of everyone, and you make an accident, and what happens? His brand new car is now damaged so badly. Now, it's just a machine, which is damaged. It's no big deal. But he feels the pain in the heart so much, that it's unbearable. And after that, he's lamenting so much. Now that which was cause of his pride and happiness is now bringing him so much pain. Then he finally goes to the garage and says, fix the car. So he says, okay, it's going to cost you a few pennies. So it's not cheap to fix the car. So when he stole the bill for fixing that car, again it's a big headache. Now he has to pay for the bill. So he has to get some more money. And he has to work a little harder to repair his car. So it's so painful process. And this moment of enjoyment turns into a misery. So like that, this is just one example, which is sufficient to show you the principle of happiness against distress which comes from that cause of happiness. So in this material world, there is no such thing as real happiness. Happiness only comes when you are fully absorbed in the Lord and serving the Lord. And when you are satisfying the Lord, then by the mercy of the Lord, you also become very much satisfied. Because your satisfaction is in the satisfaction of the Lord. When the Lord is satisfied, then He gives you immense happiness. And that happiness is not derived by some material sense object. This material world, all the happiness which we get is basically dependent on your sense perception, the five sense organs. So however you try to satisfy the senses, you will be receiving so called material happiness. For example, your eyes. If you utilize the eyes as mentioned in this particular purpose, as absorbing the beautiful form of the Lord and meditating on the Lord, then it will bring you immense pleasure because you are connecting with the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, you can use these eyes for watching mundane cinema, which may give you pleasure for 2 hours or 3 hours. But after that, there is nothing, because you spend your good money watching 3 hours of movie, and all at the end of the watching the movie, the result is that you are out of pocket. You have lost your money. And the pleasure you may have got is not much, because that pleasure was maybe only short-lived while you are watching the movie. And during watching that movie, you may go through a number of emotions, because the movie is probably about someone's life story, where he finds distress, and then all of a sudden he finds happiness, then he finds his love of his life, and then he's enjoying, and then all of a sudden he's going through all different emotions. So you are also trying to feel his emotions, and after that, it's all finished. No more happiness. So this is all very short-lived, and whatever you watch with your eyes, it will be all recorded in your brain. And all that which is recorded in your brain will be remaining in there for a long, long time. It doesn't diminish. It just stays there. Only that our ability to recall something instantly may not be there, but it is all there. But at the time of death, all this will reflect back. All this will come back. Now sometimes you may have some kind of a near-death experience, or you have heard of someone who has a near-death experience, and you will say, I saw my whole life flash past me within a few moments or seconds. And in those few seconds, you saw the whole of your life which was not centered around the Supreme Lord. So if the whole life was completely absorbed in material life, material engagement, then at the time of death, this is what you are going to see. This is what you are going to remember. And when you remember this, that will be the cause of your next birth. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yam yam vapi param bhavam antekalevam. That whatever you are thinking at the time of death, that will decide your next birth. Obviously, if you are always engaged in mundane activities, then that is what you are going to think about. And that is what is going to decide your next birth. But Krishna says that if you remember me at the time of death, then surely you will come to me without fail. So this Prajna Krishna consciousness is giving us a complete engagement of 24 hours a day to remember the Supreme Lord. Now those who are living in the ashram under the expert guidance of the spiritual master will be fully absorbed in the temple program, where from the very beginning of the day, as soon as they wake up, they begin to chant the holy names of the Lord. And after that, at a prescribed time, they would go to the temple room for a morning program, where they fully engage in the worship of the Lord. And throughout the day, they had all different engagements till the moment they retire at night to take rest. A similar program in this particular purpose, Prabhupada is recommending that the householder should be also following that. If you follow that, that is a perfect formula which is guaranteed to bring success. Now Prabhupada is saying that to implement the duties in your household life, you actually have to do it under the expert guidance of the spiritual master. Because when the spiritual master accepts you as a disciple, he is duty bound now to make sure that he does his utmost best to free you from the clutches of this material bondage. That's why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the teaching of Rishabdev, says, Guru Nasasya Sita Nasasya. That one has no right to become a father or a spiritual master unless and until the father delivers his children from the clutches of birth and death. Similarly, the spiritual master frees his disciple from the clutches of birth and death. So the spiritual master is making so many arrangements, elaborate arrangements to engage in service of the Lord, so the disciple is fully engaged in the service, that he has no time to think about anything other than serving the Lord. So even after the spiritual master instructs so many instructions, But we fail implementing, then we will be sure to fail in our mission. So this bus is a very rare bus. And in this rare bus, to actually come into contact with devotional service is even rarer. And even rarer than that is to actually come and meet a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. It is actually described in the scriptures that in the vast ocean, which is such a huge body of water, and there's one turtle who is swimming in that vast ocean. And in the ocean surface, there is a wooden log floating with a hole in it. Now the turtle has to every so often come to the surface to take a draft of air and then go back into the water. So it is explained that what are the chances of that turtle who's in this vast gigantic ocean, and the very first time he pops out for a draft of air and he hits the log hole and enters his head through that hole. So the chance of hitting the target are probably near impossibility. It is not impossible, but it is for near impossibility. The probability is very highly unlikely. But there is a chance that it will happen. So that chance is that one chance, I would say probably one in a billion probably, if you're looking at some kind of figures. So it is a very rare chance that one would meet a bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master will then make arrangements for you to be free from this bondage. So, Srila Prabhupada is very much emphasizing on the varnashram system, that one must follow this varnashram system with very, very care and attention, and all rules and regulations govern the varnashram. As I mentioned yesterday, that householder, there is particular duties one must follow in order to progress in the next stage to the point where you are now ready to enter semi-retirement. But that will only happen if you are followed properly, step by step, and preparing yourself. Because as you progress more and more in your house of life, you should be getting lesser and lesser entangled, and more and more free of entanglement. But what was happening is that as we progress in life, and in especially household life, we become more and more entangled. Because you get more and more, deeper in debt by getting a huge mortgage. You know, not everybody is in a position to buy a house outright. So most of us would probably be living in a house with a mortgage for 25 years. So best part of your life will be used to get money just to pay the mortgage. And sometimes what happens, sometimes down the road you find that you are not very happy with a small house, so you want a bigger house. So you sell your old property and go for a bigger house, get a bigger mortgage. So again, there's more big commitment. At the same time, there are many other household goods which you invest in. So all these things, you get more and more entanglement. And then free you from the bondage of this household life. So if you follow according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then you will never go wrong in implementing your devotional practices as a householder. So Srila Prabhupada is a perfect spiritual master who can actually guide us out of darkness without fear. But unfortunately, it is good to hear about the instructions, it is good to read about these instructions, but when it comes to implementation of these instructions, you find it difficult. You know, just like, you know, for example, a simple thing. Every morning when we sing the morning prayer, the last words of the Guru Ashram prayer saying that three times a day I remember my spiritual master. Now, if we really analyze ourselves, throughout the waking hours, do we actually make an effort to remember the spiritual master three times a day? Maybe in the Guru Puja time we may be meditating on the spiritual master. But after that, you don't even think about the spiritual master. You don't even consider that what is how good a fortune you have to have a spiritual master. And how much he is concerned to uplift you from the darkness of ignorance. And he's making so many arrangements and preparations to free you from these things. We take it for granted. Especially those who are initiated will see that how much conscious and aware you are of the spiritual master. So sometimes it's not easy, very easy to be conscious of Krishna 24 hours a day, because we cannot directly relate to Krishna one to one in our interactions. But at least the spiritual master is a physical person whom we are interacting with. So when we interact with the spiritual master, it is very easy to develop relationship and connect with him. But even though this facility is there, how many times in a day do we actually think of the spiritual master? So again, if we are not really practicing what we are singing in our prayers, then those prayers are simply empty prayers, meaningless. So the prayers only have a meaning when you genuinely, sincerely mean what you are saying. If I say that I am genuinely very, very happy to see you all, actually if I am happy to see you, then that has some meaning. But I just say for the sake of saying that, oh, I am very happy to be here in Singapore and to meet you all here today. But it is just for saying out of just social etiquette, then those words have no meaning. They are empty words. And similarly, when we are saying the prayers to the Supreme Lord, in the glorification of the Supreme Lord, or prayers in the glorification of the spiritual master, the same would seem very nice and very poetic. But if we don't genuinely understand what we are singing in our prayers and mean those prayers from our heart, then they are empty. Then all our devotional practice has no meaning. Because at the end of the day, the devotional service is meant to free from all these things. So if we are just superficially following, then it is of no value. The Prabhupada says sometimes, especially in Indian tradition, because nowadays it's not so much prominent, but in the old days, every family used to have a guru, family guru. And then sometimes when some guests come to their home, they would welcome their guests, they would say, so this is my wife, this is my children, and this is my dog, this is my cat, and this is my guru. So he's ready to guru with wife, children and dog and cat. He's introducing his family. This is my entourage. So you're taking the spiritual master as a mundane personality. So Prabhupada says this kind of guru is not going to help you at all in spiritual endeavor. Because the spiritual master is one who is completely in anxiety to free the disciples out of the clutches of Maya. And the spiritual master will never feel comfortable and satisfied unless and until he has made perfect arrangement to deliver the disciples. At the same time, the disciple should be also equally in anxiety to see that his spiritual master is not anxiety, and his spiritual master is not anxiety due to him, because you should not be the cause of the anxiety of the spiritual master. You should be the cause of pride for the spiritual master. The spiritual master should not be put in anxiety by us. But if we do that, then you will be considered third class disciples. Because a disciple is one who is always engaged in the service of the spiritual master to please him, that he is perfectly following the instructions of the spiritual master. This is the summum the bottom of the whole Krishna consciousness practice. That without the shelter of the spiritual master, one cannot make advancement. But not just because, just out of the spiritual master's compassion, he takes you under his shelter and says, oh, now I'm initiated. My name is such and such Das, or such and such Devi Dasi, and now I'm happily situated with the spiritual master. So I'm okay now, I have no problem. I'm saved from the greatest dangers of material life. But then there will be an illusion. So we have to follow the instructions. Now, when I was coming here, And the devotee asked me, do you know what you're speaking on? I said, yes, I had a quick glance at the Bhagavad this morning to check really which verse I'm going to speak on. And when I read the Bhagavad, I thought this is a very dynamic Bhagavad. And I was thinking, how many of the house holders will be able to perfectly follow this instruction? So, get up in the morning at 4 o'clock, and right through the whole day, 10 o'clock at night, can you fully engage in serving the Lord? It's going to be very difficult to implement this. But nonetheless, this is the order of the spiritual master. So, it is up to us now whether we fully absorb ourselves in the instructions of the spiritual master and try to elevate ourselves from the darkness, or we sort of follow it half-heartedly. And then at the end we say, well, I tried my best. So we have to make all arrangements that every member of the household is engaged in the worship. That's why Prabhupada said, as soon as the child is over the age of 12, he must be initiated by one of our spiritual master, and under the spiritual master's instructions, he should also, or she should also be engaged in the service of the Lord. So when there is a family, then some members of the family may be going to work, but then other members of the family must attend to the service of the Lord. And then when they come home from work, then they should do their part in serving the Lord. But throughout the day, their thinking should be that the Lord at home is if you take care of properly or not. You should be in that anxiety. So when you are even at work, trying to earn your living, still your thinking is, and you're meditating on the Supreme Lord at home, whether his needs are taken care of, every aspect of what is done. Just like, for example, that a guest comes to your home, and you welcome him in your home with warm heartedly, and greet him nicely, and make him comfortable. But unfortunately, circumstances are such that you have to go to work. So you tell your guest in the morning that I've prepared the breakfast, everything is ready. Please forgive me that I cannot attend to you, but you please make sure that you eat the breakfast, and don't worry about the dishes, you come and wash afterwards. You try to make them comfortable. But then you have to go to work. But at work, you're constantly thinking, is my guest okay and is he happy situated? Because you're concerned that if the guest is not properly looked after, then the guest will feel offended. And of course, if you have some decency in your heart and some humanity in your heart, then you will always be feeling in that way that I don't want to offend my guest. But if you don't care about the guest, then you say, well, who cares? He comes, goes, he's happy or not happy, doesn't bother me. Then the guest also doesn't care, because the guest will say that this house is not where I should be visiting, because it is not place of welcome. I should not go there. So he will not come again. And next time you meet that friend, you say, oh, why don't you come to my house, you know, spend a couple of days. Yes, I will try and come to your house. But in his mind, never again. Similarly, when the Supreme Lord is in your home, and if he is not taken care of properly, then what is the Supreme Lord going to say? I'm here, he invited me, I didn't come here on my own accord, I came here on your invitation, on your request. Now I come here to bless you and allow you to engage in the service. But the Lord is not happy because you are not performing your prescribed duties to serve him. So the Lord will decide, I'm off. And he will leave your home. Because I give an example. The Lord is not really in need of us. He doesn't need us to serve him. In the Brahma Samhita, the phrase saying, Chintamani Prakara Sarmusha Kalpa Viksha Laksha Vikesha Sadavira Vipale Lakshmi Sahar Sada Brahma Sevya Mahana Govinda Mahi Gursha Kama. Brahma is saying that Lord Brahma is in his prayer. He's saying that the Supreme Lord Govinda is served by hundreds and thousands of millions of Lakshmi in the Vaikuntha planet. And his Lakshmi are so eager to serve him that even not even a second goes without serving the Lord. There is not one Lakshmi. Millions and millions of Lakshmi serving the Lord. So the Lord is not short of one or two servants. That he is desperate to have one devotee who will come and serve him. So then he says, I'm so desperate for service, let me go to this person's house and get some service. He doesn't care. But out of his causeless mercy and his compassion, he freely comes to your home to accept his service. And he only comes on your request. He doesn't turn up to your doorstep and say, hey, I'm here. Now you have to worship me. No, we invite you in our home. And on the pretext that you worship him nicely. So the Lord says, okay, I will come. So the whole concept of household life should be centered around the worship of the deity. At least for those who are knowledge. Those who are ignorant of the fact can be excused because they are ignorant and have no knowledge. And the consequence of that is that they will still be caught up in the material world. But at least those who have come into knowledge by some inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, then we should take this very seriously and practice Krishna consciousness as per the guidance of the spiritual master. And that is why it is very important to adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada also emphasizes a lot that to serve Vapu, the physical form of the spiritual master, is one aspect of the service to the spiritual master. But the real more is important. And the highest principle is to adhere to the Vani of the spiritual master, the expression of the spiritual master. So that expression will remain with you all the time. His physical form may not be with you all the time. See, sometimes we have noticed that when your respective spiritual master visits you in your place of residence, in the place of country of your residence, you are also excited that you see, you know, the spiritual master is coming, you are all fired up, you take a day off from work, you go to the airport to receive him, and then you receive him very nicely, then you bring him home, and you serve him prasadam, and make him comfortable, and you arrange everything for him, and serve him very nicely, and you are buzzing around him. And all through the day, your focus is on the spiritual master. But 2 days later, the spiritual master says, now I have to go on my onward journey to meet my other disciples and my other service. So then he leaves. So then again, you're all very fired up. You take him to the airport and see him off. And he is, in the last minute, still he's just out of your sight. He's still praying, Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, you know. And Guru Maharaj, and the last class, he comes back and he wears his, again, just a blessing to all his disciples. And then he goes around the corner and disappears. And onwards towards his boarding gate. Then you come back home and just go, it was a tense period, two days of intensity. And after that, and then you get back to your normal life, and you may remember one instruction, two instructions, you may follow one or two instructions. And then, like I said, in our daily prayers, 3 times a day, we're supposed to remember the spiritual master, and, remembrance, we pray to the spiritual master, and meditate on the instructions, and how to fulfill those instructions. This is the perfection of a disciple, but we are not engaging that. Then after 6 months later, you get a phone call saying, oh, the spiritual master is coming again. Again, you're bumping around. And then, finish. I see a lot of this when I'm in the matter. We have many different spiritual masters visiting us there. And also we have multiple of disciples of all these different spiritual personalities. And when the spiritual personality comes, in the morning program, the temple is completely blocked. There's no room to stand. Then Bhagavatam class is buzzing, everyone sitting there and listening attentively to the spiritual master's class. And when the spiritual master after 2 days, 3 days, his day goes away, next day the morning program, Mangalati, 4 brahmacharis. Bhagavatam class, 4 brahmacharis. So whatever all the reactions, where did it all disappear to? Oh, their time to come to temple is only when the spiritual master comes. And that's maybe once in a 6 months, because it doesn't come practically every so often. Sometimes fortune is not there, it may only come once a year, or sometimes once every other year, because there is so much commitment to visit all the places, that it will be very rare to see him. So then, where is the bondage in serving? So because we are so much neophyte, that we are attached to the physical form rather than the structure. Because remember that one day even the physical form will not be still present with us. Because at some stage, when he fulfills his bargain of his missionary work here on behalf of his spiritual master, then he is recalled back by spiritual master to go into another mission, in another universe, another planet. So then he gets samadhi and he will go on to his onward service to his spiritual master in another planet. And meanwhile, we are still here. Then there is spiritual master not going to physically come anymore to your place of residence, or your country, or your temple. So all you really have is the vani and instructions. So Prabhupada always emphasizes that instructions are the most important thing that the disciple possesses. And these instructions are there solely to guide the disciple out of the clutches of Maya. So we should be always remembering the spiritual master in terms of his instructions. Because as soon as you remember his instructions, then you remember the spiritual master automatically, because instructions are not different from the spiritual master. So then throughout the day, if you're meditating on all the wonderful instructions one has received from the spiritual master in his useful practice, then you're almost properly situated in your mind. And he's not wondering here, there, everywhere, or speculating about any devotional practices. Because devotional practice also is very particular. That it is under the guidance of the spiritual master, he engages you in this way. So if you speculate that maybe this is what the spiritual master thinks, or this is what he meant I should do, then you will never get that connection. So it is very important that we adhere to instructions very seriously. Sometimes in a sense that instructions may be very difficult to follow, specifically in this particular purpose. The Prabhupada explains from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, you should be just centered around the deities, you may find it very difficult. But if you make the goyati and pray to Krishna and Guru, then they will give you the intelligence and understanding how to engage throughout the day in that service. One doesn't have to be physically present in front of the deity to serve. You can get it deep in your heart, in your mind, when you're at work, about your deities at home. So that is your merciful Lord who has manifested in your home. And as I explained yesterday, that all of us have very individual relationship with the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. We want the spiritual master as a disciple, but each disciple has a very unique relationship with the spiritual master. And similarly, also we have a very unique relationship with the Supreme Lord. Very unique. It is not replicated in someone else. So the Lord and spiritual master reciprocate with us in that relationship. So we have to be very much mindful of adhering to the instructions of spiritual master and not be very complacent in those things. Because if we are complacent in our practice, then we will not be making any progress in our spiritual life. Just like I mentioned yesterday, the chanting Hare Krishna and being happy. As instruction of spiritual master, he said, attentively you chant, and you chant at least minimum 6 hours, so this will enable you to experience happiness and pleasure. This is the instruction of spiritual master. So similarly, he gives many other instructions. You should be very mindful that you don't become very complacent in that. And very soon we find that it becomes like a ritual. Even like with a hall, when you're watching your deities, it becomes very ritualistic. You get up in the morning and do the same ritual every day. And after, in the beginning, your person is new. Then you are quite attentive and your conscious and aware of it. Yeah? But after a while, it becomes a ritual. Just like a little child, you buy him a new toy. He will play with that toy and hold on to the toy for first 2 days. And even if the younger brother or sister tries to snatch the toy away, no way, this is my toy. And you keep, and you even go to bed with the toy, you even go to the bathroom, you take the toy with him. Wherever he goes, you take his toy with him. For first couple of days. After that, the toy is of no value. So similarly, this is the material consciousness. So when we worship the Lord in home, when the deity first comes to your home, you are completely, mesmerized by the beauty and awe and reverence, and you decorate them, open nice food, everything. But then gradually, you know, about a year later, we begin to worship the deity in a sort of ritualistic way. Just like our chanting, you know, in the prayer. It's not every chanting, but it's just ritualistically, you know, and just mumbling away the mantra. The mind is in many different places. Hearing is not proper. So similarly, with the worship of the deity also becomes like a ritual ceremony. And then, you know, you get up and you do the ritual thing and it's okay, I've done my deed for the day, so you're okay, I'm happy now. But the Lord is not there for this kind of service. He's there to encourage you to develop a very intimate relationship with the Lord. And as you develop more and more relationship with the Lord will also reciprocate and reveal Himself to you. And you have such a strong loving bond with that, your personal deity, that you will never think about anything but your deity, 24 hours, because the bond is such a strong one. But if the bond is not there, then you never think of your deity. You know, if I ask the question right now, all the householders here who have deities at home, how many of you are thinking of your deities all day, all through the day? Anybody? Okay, I would say, you did your worship this morning? Everyone did their worship this morning? Do you remember what rest they are getting today? Anybody remembers? Or one or two person remembers? So you want to dress what you wear in the pool of the deity. That short time you remember. That the evening asks, what color is the deity? What is it? Or silver gold? Or what is red and blue? You are confused. But then, because you are dressing every day, and you have a number of sets of costumes, so you remember all of them. So maybe it was red. But then you go back home and say it's yellow. You are like in a temple. Sometimes when you visit a temple, and he said, oh, I said it was beautiful darshan today. And the Lord was so beautiful and it was far out darshan. I said, yeah, very nice. But what was the Lord wearing? Was he wearing a crown or a turban? I can't remember. So then whose darshan did you take? Because when you take the darshan of the Lord, you're supposed to look at the Lord from his toe right up to his beautiful lotus face. And remember every aspect of his wonderful ornaments, his color of his cloth, and his beautiful smile, whether he's wearing a turban or a crown, the peak of feather, and all these symbols you should be meditating. And then you will remember the Lord. And throughout the day, that form and that beautiful decoration, everything will be in your mind. But if I ask you later on, about an hour later, you can't remember whether he's wearing a crown or a turban, whether he's this color costume or that color costume, or whether he's wearing a garland of marigolds or rose or other flowers. You know, you're not certain. Then you haven't actually absorbed yourself in the Lord. You just had a superficial external darshan, and it was just a ritualistic thing that, yeah, oh, I was beautiful. The Lord is always beautiful, so, you know, whether you take darshan or not, he's always going to be beautiful. But you remember every aspect, and that is because that you're training your mind to be conscious in every moment of the Lord. If you're constantly meditating on the Lord, then you will not forget it. And then when you train your mind, and constantly every day you train, then you remember it very nicely. I give one example, that especially, you know, when I'm preaching in England, and we have a huge Indian community there, and all of them usually go and watch some Hindi movies. So, and we have unlimited Indian sari shops and jewelry shops there. So, most of the time you find them hanging around there looking for the latest saris and latest designer jewelry and whatever. So, when you ask them that you visited a temple last week, do you remember what color the deities were wearing? I sort of tried to figure out. Maybe it was red or maybe it was pink, but you're not sure. But then when you go to the sari shop and you say, I want to go and want this particular color sari, this design, I saw this 3 months ago in this movie, this heroine was wearing this color, and I want this particular design, because you remember that very, very, very vividly. You describe to the saleswoman that I want this particular design, the robe worn by this particular heroine in the movie. You know, why do you remember that? 3 months ago. And it was not that you saw that heroine wearing a sari for a whole week or regularly. Just one 3-hour movie, and if it is a 3-hour movie, maybe she was probably wearing that particular dress, maybe for a half an hour, for 10 minutes. So you see in the movie, they change the dress in like every 10 minutes. For 5 minutes long, she's wearing 6 different costumes. So, I'm very expert at this. So, you see, you can remember that very much. But why not Krishna's dress? Why not Krishna's beautiful form? Because that is not attracting our senses and giving us sense gratification. Because we are so much absorbed in sense gratification, and the object of wearing this beautiful sari, we can remember that. And don't forget, it's not just Mataji's sari, but even men, they want to wear what Amitabh Bachchan is wearing, the latest, this dress, you know, or Shah Rukh Khan, or Amir Khan, all these Khan is wearing all these fancy clothes, latest designs, you know. They want to go and dance to see this dress. In India, you find it, almost all young guys go to barber and saying, I want dress to be haircut. I don't know about here, but in India it goes. Big billboards everywhere, you can't miss it. Rajni is this guy with this funky haircut, and everybody is going for that haircut. You know. So they all remember this because they are absorbed in that kind of mundane thing. Nobody goes to them and says, I want to miss a haircut. Enabling us to enjoy sense gratification materially, and we can relate to that, because the senses are very easy to satisfy in material sense enjoyment. But then the senses are never satisfied with it; they always want more and more. So you never satisfy what you can do with the senses. But if you go beyond the senses and go deeper into the heart and try to satisfy the real senses of the soul and connect with the Supreme, that will bring you immense pleasure and happiness. So we should be training our mind in such a way that by worshipping our deities at home or your local temple, when you go for darshan, you actually are meditating on the beautiful form of the Lord and absorbing them through your eyes into your heart, and then you're hearing that picture with you all the time. Not just a few moments you're in front of the deity, you see there, and yes, now that I've come here, I've got the blessing, now I'm a happy person, and you go down and, you know, you see, for a sister, take that here, you go out and you go down to the many, many places of Italy, and then you enjoy the food down there. And you forget Krishna, you know. But, you know, you have to remember that your good fortune is that you have come into Krishna consciousness by some inconceivable potency of the Lord and arrangement of the Lord to receive this mercy. And if you lose this, then this rare opportunity will be lost forever and you will never get it back. You know, and you will get many years of birth again when you come back. You know, don't be an illusion that when Prabhupada is mentioning that this devotional process is so dynamic that all the devotional credits which you accumulate will never be lost. So that is a fact. They will never be lost. And again, Prabhupada makes a statement that if you are not successful now, then you will not lose this devotional credit, but you carry on next time from where you left off. But that doesn't mean your very next birth. Because the reason you have not completed your spiritual progress and gone back to Godhead is because there is something lacking in completing your devotional practice. So what was that lacking? Is along with devotional practice, you need some pious activities and some simple activities, knowingly or unknowingly. So in order to come and enjoy the supper of those pious and impious deeds, you have to take another birth. Now, if you have to go to hellish regions to suffer, in the suffering state, you are not going to continue your devotional life from where you left off, because you are in such a hellish situation. There's no question you're going to remember Krishna. Or, if you did some very wonderful pious deeds, you end up in some heavenly planet, where the sense of enjoyment is 10,000 times greater than what you can experience material world here, then you are so much absorbed in that sense of enjoyment that you will never think of Krishna. And not only that, the lifespan of those heavenly planets is 10,000 years, 100,000 years, 1 billion years. So you're stuck for those long periods in those planets. And eventually after you finish all that, robots will come back to the world. And again you get human birth from this planet to start over where you left off. So it could be many, many years before you again come back to start over. And when you come back, you will see the whole world has changed. There's no same place you left off. So this opportunity is very rare indeed. We should not misuse this opportunity. We should take it 100% and follow the instructions of the spiritual master, you know, and with great care and attention, and make progress in our spiritual life, so that the spiritual master is free from anxiety of trying to deliver his disciple. And the disciple actually is the pride of the spiritual master. So we are running out of time, so I will stop here. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak and share some of my thoughts on Srimad Bhagavatam. If anybody has questions, maybe one or two questions we can get. So, no questions, no comments. I have both. We understand what Prabhupada is saying in purpose. You will be rushing home 4 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, taking care of your lordships. And wherever you go, you carry them in your heart and pray to the Lord and worship them. And remember what prayer you were doing last month. Then it will be a test to show that you were actually paid attention to what Krishna was doing last month. Arrange.